In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to Jesus Christ. It is the first Sunday, in Lent. It is the Sunday of Orthodoxy. On this day, we commemorate the restoration of the holy icons to the Church once and for all. Over 1,000 years ago, in the year 843, this day reaffirmed the decision of the Seventh Ecumenical Council, which upheld the place of icons in the Christian Church, proclaiming that in venerating icons, our veneration goes to the person depicted on the icon, that we venerate the icons, but reserve worship for God alone. Two evil emperors had used the power of the state to persecute the Church and forcibly remove and destroy icons. The faithful Empress Theodora decreed the return of the icons to the churches, and her memory is rightly honored today and annually on this first Sunday of the fast. This day is also called the Sunday of the Triumph of Orthodoxy, proclaiming not only the victory of the icons, but the celebration of Orthodoxy over heresy, of the Orthodoxy of faith, of the truth of the gospel and of the true Christian theology and morality as revealed by the living God and maintained in the Orthodox faith. This celebration and its proclamation makes some of us uneasy, uncertain, concerned if we are blowing our own horn. And yet nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the truth. No more than if the celebration of Pascha would be seen as something we accomplished humanly. To God the Holy Trinity belongs all glory, honor, and worship. But if you will, let us acknowledge and be aware of other competing orthodoxies, with a small o, other competing orthodoxies in our world, competing claims of truth and correctness. Some in the name of God, alternative gospels, as sure of themselves as the size of their churches indicate, or the claims of the warrior God of submission. Then there are those who, having turned their back on God, who have made politics their religion, who see a world without God as progress, and progress as the rejection of Christian morality, who promote political correctness, which is the silencing of all debate and rational discussion and disagreement, who celebrate multiculturalism, which translated means any other culture besides Christian culture, ABC, anything but Christ, who think they're saving the world, saving the planet, who are as rigid and fanatical and sure of themselves as any hellfire and damnation preacher, sanctimonious beyond measure, who proclaim a moral authority based on entirely new definitions of morality unknown to the human race, and moral superiority, and despise all opposition. It is a pride-based religion, a sickness of religion, a sickness of political religion. In contrast, Orthodoxy is based in humility. It promotes and celebrates humility. Our Lord and Savior is humble, even humiliated, In celebrating Orthodoxy, we celebrate not ourselves, but something greater than ourselves. Holy tradition is something greater than us, handed down to us, and we receive it with humility. As someone said, tradition is giving a vote to your ancestors. In this case, giving a vote to the Holy Fathers, the great cloud of witnesses. We are informed and guided by their voice and their wisdom of past generations. We are not slaves to the moment or to passing political fancy or to every passing ideology. Orthodoxy is something greater than the moment and greater than every fleeting ideology. Orthodoxy is not about my personal philosophy versus yours. Orthodoxy is about having God as our Father and the Holy Church as our Mother. The Church as our Mother we see in the image of the icon of the Most Holy Theotokos. But we can be obedient children of our Mother or disobedient. We can choose to listen or not. If we don't want to hear her voice, there are plenty of other voices shouting at us. We can remember how we've been raised, or we can go off wanting to be like everyone else, like the prodigal who turned away from his heritage. We can muffle our orthodoxy and celebrate whatever. St. Macarius the Great speaks of the children of this age. He says, "The inhabitants of this world, the children of this age, are like wheat in a sieve. They are being sifted by restless thoughts of this world. They are constantly tossed to and fro by earthly care, earthly desire and absorption, and a variety of material concerns. Satan tosses such souls as a sifter sifts wheat. By these concerns, he disturbs them, keeps them anxious, and in a state of nervous motion." See this nervous motion in our society, in our political discussions, in our highways, in our dealings with one another, this edginess. The alternative to orthodoxy is anxiety, or a continued false sense of security. Brothers and sisters, our celebration of orthodoxy and even the anathema of its enemies is not a condemnation but an invitation to the truth of this faith. St. Maximus the Confessor cautions us. He said, "Christ wants you never in any way, for any reason, to cultivate a spirit of hatred, bitterness, anger, or ill feeling. The four Gospels proclaim that on every page." And ultimately, orthodoxy is about him, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, our loving, humble, crucified, and risen Lord. St. Justin Pavlovich says, "All truths of orthodoxy emerge from one truth and converge in one truth, infinite and eternal. That truth is the God-man, Jesus Christ." Said, if you experience orthodoxy to its limit, you inevitably discover that its kernel is the God-man, Jesus Christ. In fact, all the truths of orthodoxy are nothing other than different aspects of the one truth, the God-man, Christ. And brothers and sisters, there are people who are searching for the true Christ, who know there's something not quite right about the Christianity they hear being taught where they are. Just this week, a man called the church phone, driving in his car. He wanted to know what the Orthodox teaching is on original sin. We wound up having a 20-minute discussion on original sin in terms of how it's taught in the Western churches and how it's taught in Orthodoxy. And he was surprised about the Orthodox faith. And you could see that his interest was piqued, and something about the way he was thinking was very Orthodox, but no one around him was teaching it or preaching it. People are hungry. People are hungry for this truth. They don't know where it is or what it is or if it even exists. And I would ask you, do you know the difference? Do you know the difference between the Orthodox teaching on original sin and the Western teaching? We talk about this in our inquirers class. Maybe you're a candidate for our inquirers class if you don't know the difference. If you want to be a faithful ambassador of your faith, you could learn more about your Orthodox faith. The inquirers class is not Sunday school. It's serious discussion of Christian teaching. And finally, our Orthodox battle cry from our epistle to the Hebrews is to fight against ourselves, to fight against every sin that binds us and holds us back, against our own sins, and looking to Christ for the victory. We heard from Hebrews, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." A joyous Sunday of Orthodoxy to you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to Jesus Christ. Amen.